Blog Talk Radio.
Good day, and welcome to the broadcast. This is yours truly, the Apostle D.W. Jones Sr., right here on The Proceeding Word. So glad, so excited, and elated to be with you on this day. This is the day that Yahweh, our Elohim, hath made. I will, you should. Come on, Zion, let's do it together. Really, for real, seriously. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. It is another day of grace, another day of His power, another day of His Spirit, another day of His purpose and His plan for your life and mine. I don't know about you, but every day I experience a new version of His love. In spite of me, in spite of my ways, in spite of my thoughts and my ideas, He is constantly and perpetually covering me and keeping me. Well, this is another day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I want you to know that there's nothing on the planet you can't do in Him. He has everything designed just for you in mind. It's a wonderful thing to concept, and it's a wonderful thing to embrace, I should say, as a concept. So I want you today to bear with us as we prepare our hearts to get into one of the most dynamic messages you'll ever experience, one of the greatest teachings you'll ever know and see, and that is the essence and the experience of love. Yeah, it's going to get interesting. Yep. You're going to see love in a brand new light, a deeper light for some of you. You'll know love. We're not going to teach anything you've not heard before, but you will hear it different in this season, in this session, in this time. You know, it's a Monday, and everybody goes to moaning and groaning and bemoaning the day of Moon Day. Well, Yahweh didn't create Moon Day. He did not. It is not considered Moon Day to him. From Saturday at sundown till Sunday at sundown was day one. From Sunday at sundown till Monday at sundown is considered day two. So you are in the second day of creation. And the second day of creation is very interesting because there is a time where there is a specific type of order that had been made. And when we talk about the second day of creation, we realize what he did in that time. He gave us some dynamic things. There was order established in the second day. The book of Genesis lets us know that in verses 6, Elohim said, "Let there be the firmament in the midst of the waters, and then let it divide the waters from the waters." And Elohim made the firmament, and he divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And Elohim called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So you are living in the firmament. You are living in a day where breathing was made possible for humanity based on the creation of the firmament. That's right. He separated the waters that were in the heavens from the waters that were on the earth. Now remember, all of the earth was covered in water that day. So this day, the second day, I really want you to get this, the second day is what we're in. It's not a moon day or a moon day. No. It had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with you and I being given breath, the ability to breathe, the ability to inhale and exhale, the ability to begin. So we think of Monday as a terrible day, and some of you call it the first day of your work week. It's not even close to that. The first day of your work week was already some time ago. But today, you are in the day when the firmament was created. So remember, there was much to be understood about the order of this day. So just keep that in mind before you start groaning and falling victim to the different adages and coin phrases of our culture and society at large. Remember, you are in this world, but not of this world. So we don't think like the world. Though we have the ability to, we must think like the kingdom. And the kingdom is how we get victory in all of our scenarios. So I want you to learn this, understand this, embrace this, stay with us as we learn more about the experience of love, the very experience and the very purpose of love. It's an interesting thing because it means so much more than we really, really, really know. And I want you to embrace every moment of it. But for the moment, we're going to come right back with a very quick drop.
Like your social media? So do we. We're there too. Like us, follow us, join us. Go to our website, vwjministries.com, and find out where we are in your social media sphere.
Well, we just want to make sure those of you that have been inquiring about where we are on social media, we're just about everywhere. We're hoping you'll join us wherever you need to join us at, whether it's on LinkedIn, Pinterest, or Instagram. We're also on Twitter at BWJ777, hoping to find you there. Be with us and talk back, tweet back with us as we look to encourage the world through the mediums available to us to make sure that the world can be reached. That's right. That's our goal. Reach and go out into all the world teaching and preaching this good news of salvation. Well, today we want to talk about the experience of love, and we're going to get somewhat in-depth. It's going to probably take us about two programs. We're slated today and next week or in this next broadcast to talk about the experience and the essence of love. So let's get into it. John chapter number 17 is where it all begins for us. Well, it doesn't really begin in John 17. It actually begins later, but we're going to backdrop you into this. So we're going to bring you forward to take you backwards to bring you to today. Is that all right? We're going to show you one place in time, and then we're going to back you up beyond that time, and then we're going to bring you back to how it applies to us today. This is what we call, in one strange way, exegetic teaching. We're going to make this practical for you, so you understand why you're born again. Most believers in who we call Jesus the Christ, I prefer Messiah, do not understand why we are saved and how our salvation came to be. We get it that he died on the cross, but I want you to understand it goes a whole lot deeper. Well, let's begin with some of the most familiar passages of our Bible, some of the most familiar passages and texts of sermons and or theses across the globe within Christendom. Let's look at it, dissect it, and embrace. Tell your neighbor, and all you're getting, you're going to get understanding. But even though your neighbor's not with you, you got a cubicle next to you, some of you are in your offices, some of you are as well are in your homes, and there's nobody sitting on the couch with you while you're listening to this, and some of you are simply in your cars on your lunch breaks listening into this broadcast. And we so appreciate your support as VWJ Ministries and the Proceeding Word that we're praying a magnificent blessing over your lives, the shalom of Elohim. We speak over you all 13 attributes of shalom. We want to speak over you wholeness, completeness, health, wealth, prosperity, tranquility, soundness of mind, welfare of being, wholeness. We speak this over you today in the name of our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. But while you're sitting and listening, let someone know, inbox them, text them, tweet them, grab your grandma, your auntie, your cousin, Pookie, him, her, whomever, and let them know the Proceeding Word is on the air. Chapter 17, the book of John, verse 1 reads, listen to this. This is Yeshua, our Savior, praying to Yahweh, God the Father, before he is to die. Listen closely. This is intense. Listen to what he says. These words spake Yeshua, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Yahweh, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, as you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, Elohim, they might know you, Yahweh, the only true Elohim, and that they might know Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Now, many people get confused about what happens in John chapter 17, and we hear these words of our Messiah spoken. I want to give a very strong preference to everyone who reads your Bible, everyone who's ever had a King James version of the Bible, and everyone who sees the letters of red in your Bible. The letters of red have always been associated with the words of Jesus. Now, I want to make very clear, the letters that are in red are the words of Christ. They are the words Adonai. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And so, though they come out of the pulchritude and the esophagus and the tongue and the mouth in physical form of the one we call Yeshua, whom we love and adore, it is the essence of Yeshua, which is Adonai, the Word of God, the Son of God, in the Son of Flesh, the Son of Man, coming out. So before we get deep and you feel like, oh, that's just too much, listen. In this passage, it appears that there is a speaking as if he is in third person, or there is a three-person conversation. Listen, rereading chapter 17, verse 1, these words spake Yeshua. He lifted up his eyes toward heaven and said, Yahweh, Father, the hour is come, glorify your Son, Adonai, and that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him power over all flesh. Why is he talking in third person? Why is he talking as you've given him? Who's, if it's me conversing with you, then you've given me power over all flesh. But listen to how he's talking. He's talking in third person. The reason is, it is a three-part conversation. In this passage,
Whenever you read the words of red, it is the Adonai that is in flesh speaking. Please catch this because it gets deeper as we move forward. It is the Adonai in flesh that is speaking. Now listen to what he says in John chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. He says, "The hour is now come, Yahweh. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given Yeshua power over all flesh, that he should give or introduce eternal life to as many as you have given to his charge." "And this," Adonai says to Yahweh, "this is life eternal, that they might know you, Yahweh, the only true Elohim, and that they might know Yeshua, whom you have sent." Now, if it is Yeshua saying this technically, why is Yeshua not saying, "as you have given me"? Because it is the person of the Son of God in the pulchritude called the Son of Man that is actually speaking. You see, John is the greatest articulator of the difference between the Son of Man and the Son of God in one pulchritude, in one person. So, this is important. You'll see in a moment. We're talking about the experience of love. Listen, "and this is life eternal," John chapter 17, verse number 3, "that they might know you, Yahweh, the only true God, Elohim, and that they might know Yeshua, HaMashiach, whom you have sent. Now, I, Adonai, have glorified you on earth." "I have finished the work which you gave me to do." Well, what was this work that Yeshua, or I should say Adonai, God the Son, was given to do on the earth? Well, it gets really interesting because in Hebrews chapter number 5, verse 10, Paul gives us access to another heavenly conversation, much like the one John has given us access to. It's very interesting because it's actually in Hebrews chapter 10, forgive me, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. I'm going to show you something that will probably blow the mind of most of you who do actual studies. Listen to this closely. He says in verse number, you know what, let's just read the rest of this. Everybody go to Hebrews chapter 10. This is a sidebar to produce a great backdrop to an event that you've been reading but not understanding within Christendom. I hate to sound like I'm dogging out what we've learned. I'm just trying to open more light on what we've consumed. So in the passage here, Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number, let's go to verse 1. We got the time. "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing, can never, with those sacrifices offered year by year, continually be comers there, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, once purged, should have no more consciousness of sin." He's talking about the old way that the Aaronic law and or the Aaronic ceremony was done. Verse 3, "but in those sacrifices," the sacrifices for sin, "there is a remembrance again made of sins every year." See, back in the day, back in the day, in the days of the tabernacle, under the law of Moshe, there was a issue called the sacrifice for sin. And whenever there was a sin, someone would come to the priests. The priest would let them know what the cost of that sin, what the sacrifice of that sin was actually, how it was to be carried out. And that act how it was carried out, whether it was a sacrifice or some form of what we call work or activity, it was spelled out, prescribed in the writ, in the Torah, in the Levitical law, in the law. So in the Torah would tell you what you did and what you needed to do to remedy the problem with God Almighty. So he would say that these sacrifices, under the Aaronic way of doing things, did not make the participant perfect. And every time they did this sin, they would have to offer like this all the time, because the worshiper, once he was purged, should have no more consciousness of that sin. But in those sacrifices, though they have given the sacrifice, though they have cleansed their hearts per the sacrifice and the ritual, every single year when they went back to the altar, the ashes of their sacrifice would always be at the altar reminding them of their sins once before. Okay? Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just that verse 3 is a qualifying for us, the law that went along with the sacrifice for sin. So he says in verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. It was never designed that the sacrifice of bulls, goats, sheep would take away your sins. It would cover it. It would pay down on the real cost of your sin. And every year you went back to that altar for another type of sin, you'd be reminded by the ashes of your past sacrifice that you had done this or something similar before. So you'd always be reminded of your sins. Look at what he's saying. Verse 4 in Hebrews chapter 10 says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And for this reason, remember when I told you there's three words? Whenever you see them in your Bible, you should stop, get a cup of coffee, grab a, make yourself a cup of tea, get yourself a lemonade, park it right there, and dig into these verses that are about to come up. Because when you see wherefore, when you see therefore, when you see the words behold, Yahweh is about to teach an additional two or three messages in the words you're going to read. So whenever you see wherefore, therefore, and or behold, there are going to be several messages in the same passage of words. Listen, he says, now it's not possible that when you and I sin, and under the law, for the sacrifice of redeeming your sin, that the blood of bulls and the blood of goats and the blood of lambs and turtle doves will actually take away your sins. They will cover your sins. But every year you come back, should you sin and have to give another sin offering, those ashes only cover what you did. You'll always be reminded of your sins. So it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away your sins. Verse 5, here's where it gets good. Wherefore, because of this, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifices and offerings you would not, but a body have you prepared me. Now this is important. Wherefore, when he comes into the world, stop. Who's coming into the world? Adonai. When he comes into the world, he says, sacrifices and offerings you would not, but a body have you prepared for me. Now, the body that is prepared is the body of the person we call Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. So the body is Jesus. The body is Yeshua. Now, because of this, we now see someone is in this body. Now, what are you talking about, Apostle? See, that's why I don't like talking to you, because you've been making people think that there's all this other gods and all this other stuff. No, just read your Bible. Please look at the words yourself. When he comes into the world, he says to someone, let's just be general for a moment. Not that I don't know who he is speaking to and who is speaking, but look at what the word says. Paul gives us a conversation that's happening in heaven. He says, when he comes into the world, to somebody, that there is a body, you have prepared me. So let's just deal with verse 5. You're going to learn today what's really going on. So verse 5, verse 4, it's not possible that bulls and goats, when they are sacrificed by the Torah, will actually cleanse, take away the sins of man when they do them. That's why you've prepared a body for me, your son, Adonai, the son of God, the son of Elohim. Elohim is God the Father, Yahweh, God the Son, Adonai, and God the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh. So, verse 5 means Adonai, the Son of God, is speaking to Yahweh, God the Father, and saying, you want me to go into the earth and present the sacrifice that will forever take away the sin of the world. So therefore, Father Yahweh, as you are asking me to leave my heavenly throne to go into the world we have created through the process of humanity, the body that you want me to wear in the earth will be the ultimate penalty for all the sins of humanity. And that is because that pulchritude called Yahshua will be your salvation for any man who believes that I am in this flesh walking on the earth. That belief that when we lay this body on the cross, have it cooked by the sun, have it sown back into the earth, that as many as believe that you will raise that seed from the dead, they shall be saved. So Yahweh, Father, I, your obedient son, Adonai, will go down into earth and put off my heavenly garment and put on this earthen sacrifice and become the propitiation for the sins of the world and humanity that we created. Man, this is deep. I hope you guys are learning something today. So, this is what we're hearing in Hebrews, but we're never explained this in Christendom. So he says, verse 5, I told you wherefores and therefores, they get deep. Listen to what he says. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1. So now it's going to make more sense. Because of the law, verse 1, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Come on, hurry up, get there. Look at the words while I'm reading them. Don't take it for granted because you'll miss something in just hearing it. I need you to read it and see it, and that's how you properly hear it. Hearing is not just by speaking it. Hearing it is by looking at it, speaking it, understanding it. That's the proper process for hearing. Now listen, Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things that are yet to come, but not the very image of the things, meaning that the sacrifices of bulls, the sacrifices of goats, the sacrifices of lambs, the sacrifices of turtle doves, they have a very good image of the intent of the actual image that is to come. They do a decent substitutionary work. But these sacrifices in the law can never take away and make for then would they not cease to be offered? If these substitutionary sacrifices, temporary sacrifices could make the sinners who came to the altar perfect, then we would not have to have sacrifices every single year for the sins of humanity. That's what verse 2 is saying. For then would not they have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers, once they're purged, they should have no more consciousness of sins. But in these types of sacrifices, the bulls, the goats, the turtle doves, the rams, in these sacrifices, verse 3, there is always a remembrance that is made of their sins every year. For it was never designed that the blood of bulls and goats should actually take away sins. It'll cover sins. It'll cover sins. It'll make them right in the tribes of Israel. It'll make them right as it refers to honoring you for their wrong. But it never really takes away their sins. Listen to this. We're talking about the experience of love. And so he says in verse number 5, he says, wherefore, because of this, when he comes into the world, Adonai, he says, sacrifices and offerings, Yahweh, you would not have to take away the sins of the world. But there is a body that you have prepared for me that will. Because verse 6 says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you don't have any pleasure in them. Listen, verse 7. Then said I, who is saying this? Adonai is saying this. Lo, affirmedly, I come in the volume of the book. By the way, the book is actually written of me. I come to do your will, Yahweh. Your Bible says, verse 7 says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Well, the way that this really reads in the Hebrew, it says, verse 7, then said Adonai, lo, I come, Yahweh, in the volume, in the power of the book, because the book is a bunch of words that are a bunch of paragraphs that are my enunciations for the thoughts you have towards mankind, and we gave that to Moses. So the book of the law is me, Adonai, the word. The word was given to Moshe to govern the people by. So when it says, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, it means just that, the law, the book, it's me. It is written about me. I'm Adonai. It's written about me. It is the word. He sent his word to heal their land. Who is the word? Well, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with Elohim, and the word was Elohim, and the word became flesh, John 1:14. Listen closely. I'm going to reread it the way it should sound. In the beginning was Adonai, the Son of God. And Adonai was with Elohim, and Adonai was Elohim. Verse 14 should say, and Adonai became flesh. That connects directly with Hebrews chapter 5. When he comes into the world, he says, sacrifices and offerings you would not, but a body, and the word became flesh. But a body you prepared for me, and the word became flesh. Do you see the connection? And a body you prepared for me, and the word became flesh. I'm talking about the experience love went through for you and I. Listen closely. So now we see in this passage that he is very intentional about bringing his son into the earth and the purpose that his son would serve in the earth. in the body of one we call Yeshua. So now we realize that Adonai is having conversations with Yahweh about the body that is the sacrifice. What do you mean the body that is the sacrifice, Apostle? What do you mean about the body that is the sacrifice? Well, you got to remember what happened in the book of Genesis. In Genesis, there is this peace and this plan when Abraham is going through an issue with his son that was given to him. Now, I don't know what all people think, but I'm trying to find it now. Hold on, and I didn't expect to go here, but we have to talk about this in the sacrifice. Let's go to chapter 22 of Genesis. Listen to this. Now, well, we all know the story. We're talking about the realities of what goes on here. The experience of love. Love is very serious. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love does what needs to be done to make sure that you and I don't find ourselves hurt, harmed, damaged, broken, and even when we mess up, love never leaves us, never abandons us. Love, the experience of love, no matter how bad we are, once something and once someone says, I love you, once it's meant that we love you, it should not be for any intentions other than the fact that I care about what you care about. I am concerned for your well-being in life. And no matter how it turns out, I will always have your back. I will always be walking alongside of you for the benefit of your destiny being fulfilled. Love does not bail out. Love does not leave. Love can be tough. Love can be very direct. Love can be actually a little bit painful because truth is what love does, and truth can hurt, but truth that hurts isn't truth that tries to destroy. Truth that hurts is truth that says, hey, you sewed that patch on your body, and that's not supposed to be there. Let me grab some sutures and try and help you cut that patch off so that you don't send the wrong signals to this atmosphere. So truth and love are synonymous, and as you know, truth can hurt. And there's also a form of love that's called tough love. And many times we need a good dose or two of tough love, which can really be a bit staunch. It can really be a bit abrasive, but never designed to hurt. You know, you take abrasive chemicals and abrasive sponges to clean out dirt rings in a bathtub and dirt rings in a sink or spills on the floor that have dried and become crusty, or sink, you know, items around the kitchen. You want to make sure it's clean. You have to become abrasive, but it is in the sense of becoming what? Righteous, cleansed, whole, healthy. So when we talk about love, we talk about love in the sense that it actually can and always will cover you in spite of you and never leave you, because you can be appalling at times. Love is something. The experience of love says, I am going to pay a price for you that you realistically are not worthy of based on your actions. You have not merited the mercy I'm going to extend to you, and you have not put in the work to have me extend the grace that will keep you. But because I made a commitment and I've told you I love you, I am concerned about you, I realize you've done some things in ignorance, and I realize that you've done some things by your own will and volition. But I promised, this is what love says, this is why Elohim is so great to us, this is why when you tell someone you love them, be very careful who you extend this type of power to, because many can't handle it. It becomes a manipulating scenario. When you love someone, you are there with them and for them through everything, and you don't bail on them. Love covers multitude of sin. How many people do you know in your life that have said, I love you? Oh, hey, girl, I love you. Yo, bro, I love you, man. Love you, man. And as soon as they find out you did something last summer, as soon as they find out that you mistakenly said something that offended them, man, why you say that about me? I thought you loved me. You know what? I said it, but I wasn't saying it that way. Man, forget you, man. Man, get out of here. And what happened to love? love works and walks and talks through. Love also tells you that I've got your back. Just be. Just keep living. We ain't going nowhere. Nothing ever is going to separate who we are, one the other. When you sin, I'm going to call you on it. I'm going to help you get clean of it because I need to see you in righteousness. And then if you love me, you'll also cover me in like fashion, in like form. And though it will make you emotional, love never works from emotions. So we're talking about the experience of love. This is so deep because when Yeshua was in the Garden of Gethsemane, people say he became very emotional. Some say, you know, he didn't become emotional. I'm telling you, he did. Because he says, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Because these people right here that I came down here to help, these people we put this body on for, well, it wasn't Adonai that said that. It was Yeshua who was given the right to talk. He says, I don't feel like dying, but I don't feel like going to the cross and taking this beating because I've done everything I can do to show them who you are. I've healed their sick. I've helped their psychologically challenged people. I've taken legs and made them grow so that they're even. I've removed cancer and asthma from people. I've opened the blinded eyes. I've opened the deaf ears. I've helped their marriages. And these people still call me the devil. They've called me everything but a child of you. And yet, I know our plan to die for them. I ain't feeling it right now. See, that's what really happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. I ain't feeling like dying for them because I don't think they're worthy of it. Thank Elohim Almighty that Yeshua allowed not for his will to be done, but the will of Adonai in him to be completed. See, we all fall into a place of judging one the other, but the issue is there's only one judge, and sometimes the messenger of the options for and away from judgment, the messenger who brings those options can sometimes forget we are just the messengers. We are not the judge. We are only to bring the message. Yeshua had to realize, I'm just a body to bring the message of Adonai into the earth that if you sin, you're going to die. If you repent of your sins, I've got a place of life everlasting for you. But the people that you got to take the message to as the messenger may not always be acceptable, palatable, and or conducive to you handing that message off. They may be weird people, nasty people, set in their own ways. And then you have to say, y'all don't realize what God is doing for y'all. Y'all don't realize why I'm in the peace and presence of you. You don't understand who I am. You're looking at me like another human being. I'm different. I'm here to give you a message of hope and life, and I don't have to do it. That's why we sing the song. He didn't have to do it, but he did. So when we look at the experience of love, this is just part one today. We've got part two coming to you on Wednesday, but we have to build a backdrop for you on just what love experienced so you and I could be alive, so you and I can have a chance at the tree of life. So let's talk about this body again that was prepared for the Son of God, Adonai, to come into the earth. The body is Yeshua. But this body is here because of a promise. Not just because, well, I should say it's here because of a promise, two promises. The first promise is here in Genesis chapter number 22. Listen to this closely. And it came to pass after these things, verse 1, that Adonai, or I should say Elohim, did tempt Abraham. Mm-hmm. And he said unto Abraham, interesting, behold, here I am. And he said, Abraham, I want you to take now your son, your only son, Isaac, the one I just gave you, the son I know you love, and I want you to get you up into the land of Moriah, and I want you to offer him for a burnt offering there. And I want you to do it upon one of the mountains that I will tell you of. So basically, listen to this, Zion. Yahweh is telling Abraham, on a hill far away, I want you to go and offer your only son. Sound familiar? Does it sound familiar? Oh, come on, Christendom. On a hill far away, there's an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and sin. Mm-hmm. You didn't know it was prophesied. Look at this. Abraham is given the same instructions he would have to give his own son. He says, I want you to get up, verse 2, Genesis 22. Take your son, your only begotten son, whom you love, and get you to a mountain, a hill, where I'll choose. Verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning. Early in the morning he rose, huh? Listen to this. He saddled an ass. He took two of his young men with him. He took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offerings. Well, it's interesting because two sons listen and start connecting dots. Abraham, two young lads, that's four people that have to make a trip alone. Listen, when Yeshua goes to the garden, he takes himself, James, John, and Peter. So James, John, and Peter plus Yeshua makes four. Do you see the similarities here? I'm not stretching and reaching for straws. These are connections, so you and I will understand this has always been a part of the prescription for mankind's redemption. I'm talking about the experience and the essence of love. Well, wait a minute, Apostle, you're not making this clear. So what is love? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. He that loveth, everyone that loveth, is born of God and knows God. But he that loves not knows not God. Why? For God, Elohim, is love. So God put on sinful flesh, the Adonai of God, the Son of God, put on sinful flesh, the person we call Yeshua. So the experience of love means that Elohim came down to experience firsthand why it is we sin and how to get us out and how to register simultaneously and concurrently how to pay the price for every sin Yeshua thought, he saw with his eyes, he heard with his lips, his ears, and he himself wanted to speak with his own mouth. And that's how he knew and was able to pay the full Monty to ransom mankind back to himself. Now, this is a radio broadcast which is designed to help encourage believers of like faith with us. We're not so much worried about young believers who don't know, but if you really want to learn and understand, you'll just bear through as we become redundant with you over time. So people will say, Apostle, this is just too deep. I don't like studying with you. It's just, it makes me think. Good. It's exactly what I want you to do. Think. So that in all of your getting, all of your church and Christian and Christ experiences, you get understanding of exactly why you rejoice and why you should rejoice. Now, I got to finish this. We got to go. I've only got a few more minutes left. Listen closely. So Abraham, description in prophetic mode of what Yeshua who is the body that carries this Son of God, and even his experience in the Garden of Gethsemane. Abraham is the prophetic prototype. It is the window into seeing why the Garden of Gethsemane was important. Look, verse number 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, Isaac and his son, that's four people, and they clave the wood for the burnt offering, and they rose up and went up into the place of which Elohim had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Interesting. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder. Doesn't Yeshua tell the disciples, y'all stay here, I got to go over a little piece and pray by my... Okay, you'll get that, I'm sure. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and I'll come to you again. Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took his fire, the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. He said, here I am, son. He says, no, he says, here am I. He says, here am I, not here I am. He says, here am I, son. And he says, behold, remember to behold wherefores and therefores. I told you there's a message being taught. Additional messages are being taught. Whenever you see the word behold, therefore or wherefore, here we're seeing in Genesis 22:7 the word behold. Isaac, the only begotten son, says to the father, Abraham, behold, I see the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for our traditional burnt offering? We've done this many times, Father. And I know we were up here to sacrifice for sins of our camp and the people that are with us, and we come to pay homage to Elohim, but we're missing something this time, Father. We're missing the lamb, the L-A-M-B. Verse 8, Abraham says, my son, Elohim will provide himself a lamb to be the burnt offering. So they both went forward from there together. And they came to the place of which Elohim had told him. And Abraham built an altar there. He laid the wood in order. See, Yeshua laid on the wood on Calvary. They didn't put him on the wood. He laid on the wood, because Elohim is a God of decency and order. And in the order of the prophecy, Yeshua laid on the wood, and Isaac was bound. The Bible says in verse 9 of Genesis 22. I'm just helping you connect the dots, that's all. Because in all of our getting, we need to get understanding. I hope this is blessing you, and if it is, just let us know. But listen to this closely and look at what happens here. Verse 9, Genesis 22. And they came to the place. This is the experience of love, people. Abraham built an altar. He laid the wood in order. He bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Wasn't Yeshua bound and then laid on the wood? The wood of the cross. Yeah. Verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hands, and he took the knife to slay his son. And then suddenly the angel of Yahweh called, Yahweh Tzabaoth, called unto him out of the third heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He says, listen to what Abraham says. He says, here am I. And he says, lay not your hand upon the land, neither do you anything unto him. For now I know you have the revelation and you fear Elohim, seeing that you have not withheld only begotten son, your own son, for one of my commands. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him there was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns, his most powerful part of his body. And Abraham went and took the ram, not the lamb, but the ram, and he offered him for a burnt offering in the stead as a substitutionary offering for his son. Look at the prophetic fulfillment here. The reason that Abraham didn't offer his son was because Yahweh intervened. Abraham prophesied that Yahweh Jireh would provide himself, would provide of himself. Yahweh providing himself meant he provided his own son, Adonai. That's where you get John 3:16 from. For Elohim so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Well, Yahweh only has one son, and that is Adonai. You get it? He put flesh on his own son to bring him into earth to redeem us from the penalty of sin Adam introduced us to. So in verse number 13 of Genesis 22, Abraham went, took the ram, the R-A-M, and offered him. Now here is the significance of the R-A-M, the ram, is that the prophecy was in verse 9 or verse 8 that Yahweh would provide a lamb, L-A-M-B. The lamb would be identical and or synonymous with the son. So the son of man would be the Lamb of God. So when John, Yohanan, saw Yeshua at the Jordan, he said to the people, "Behold, the body prepared of God, the Lamb of Elohim." But look at this. Back to Genesis chapter 22, verse number 13. Abraham now sees Yahweh says, "Don't sacrifice your son. I'm going to sacrifice mine. I just wanted you to see what I'm going to have to do in a time yet to come. And now you feel my pain." This, people of God, is why Abraham was a friend of Elohim. We're just teaching you about the experience of love, and we have not even come to our conclusion. But listen to this. Verse 13, Genesis 22. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. The ram is the symbol for the prophet. So by offering the ram, R-A-M, instead of a lamb or his S-O-N, this ram sacrifice was the initiation for the prophetic utterance that this event will happen at a later date. I don't have any more time to talk about this right now. On our next broadcast, we're going to finish the experience of love. I want you to realize something. That what he did for you and I trumps any experiences in life that we've ever had. Don't let his experience of love go null and void. If you err, you sin. Yeshua is the price. He paid the price. He is that lamb. He died. He roasted. He hung on that cross. He laid on that wood on a hill far away that you and I could be saved. Repent of your sins, every one of you. Get up and then sin no more. This is what the experience of love came to give us. But you must repent for your sin. You're not once saved, always saved. Every sin you commit, you have to repent for it. And then do not go back into it. But remember, even if you sin and you've made a commitment to love, you never withdraw your love, your support. You never, ever have to worry about Yahweh pulling away from you because you erred. He separates from you when you're in sin. But because of sin, he gave his son. The problem is, will you run to him when you sin to be restored back unto him? And if you do so, Yahweh never pulls his support of you. He never pulls his care for you. and he keeps restoring you to bring you into the destiny for why he created you. I'm not talking about this doctrine of grace, but I am talking about the understanding of grace. But grace does require you to repent of your sins and make a commitment and covenant with him that you will not go back to that way again. And if he needs you to adjust your relationship with that which made you sin, then do it. But it doesn't mean you will run and leave and hide and scream and holler and be depressed and go through bouts of emotional drama and distress. David cried this prayer in Psalms 51. Deliver me from the guilt of my sin. Deliver me from blood guiltness, because I'm going to feel guilty and remorseful for what I did to you and how I disobeyed you and let you down, Yahweh. But if you can deliver me from the guilt of my sin, I'm going to stay here in Israel. I'm not going to run. And I'm going to teach everyone in Israel your ways, and the sinners will be converted unto you. We're just talking about the essence of sin, people. We're talking about the experience of love. Hope you'll tune back in on the next broadcast, because it's going to get better. You're going to really love connecting the dots according to the writ. Well, we got to get out of here, but don't leave me yet. I need your support. If you think that this message was a blessing to you, you might believe it could be a blessing to someone else that you can't explain this to. Help us to stay on the air. Help us to be effective in teaching this message to the world. Consider becoming a partner with VWJ Ministries. Go to our webpage, vwjministries.com. Consider sowing a seed to help us continue to be able to procure these platforms that cost to carry this signal across the globe. I'll preach it for free, but I got to pay for the platform. Become a partner with us. And every soul that we're able to reach and cause to change and get all they're getting, get understanding, it'll be accounted to you. You don't have to go and you ain't got to preach. I'll do it. But help me get the gas money to get there. Help me pay for the wood to make the platform. Help me to pay for the microphones and speakers and amplifiers to proclaim the gospel. You help us do that. Every soul we reach will be our souls we reached for him, and it'll be accounted to you for righteousness. Go to VWJ Ministries, become a partner with us. We also need your prayers, and we need your word-of-mouth advertising. Well, the proceeding word has got to end right now. We'll come back next broadcast this Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Put it on your calendars. Don't miss it. Don't be late. Get here. We don't want you to miss a drop of it. Till we meet again, we say to you, Shalom.